Yo, what's up, everybody? We're back. Another Thursday, R2C2 from Toronto this time.
And, you know, normally R2C2 is released on Thursday morning, but the only rule is Thursday. So if it's an afternoon, it's an afternoon.
Oh, yeah, today is Thursday. Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, whatever.
No, you it's said technical. It.
I'm just saying, like, if it releases at 9 in the morning, it's Thursday.
It's Thursday.
You know, you get it.
We got to 11:59 to get this baby out.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we're in good shape. So you get it for your evening commute rather than your morning commute. And we get to chat with a guy we love, man.
Yeah, big Raptors fan.
Yeah, exactly.
And as we sit here, it's now, what, 2-1?
Yeah, man, he's feeling good after yesterday's game. I actually went to a bar in Yorkville after the game last night and watched the end of the game. These fans are crazy, man.
I thought about it.
Yeah.
But then I had my Warriors hat on, and then the whole shit that happened in 2015, I was like, maybe, you know what I mean? I don't want to cause a riot, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, fuck it, I'll watch it in my room. But it was rough watching that without KD, without Looney, without Clay. I mean, we'll wait and see. You know, Steph's trying to do his thing by himself. It's crazy.
Either way, it sets up a good narrative, right? Because it's either like the Warriors come back and win and it's dramatic and their backs are against the wall a little bit, or the Raptors have an unexpected win.
Yeah, because this whole run that the Warriors have been in, like, they've only really kind of been down that one series to OKC, right?
Yeah.
Remember when they were down 3-1? That was only really like
serious drama.
Yeah. They lost that 2016, but I mean, the only time they were really in trouble was, you know, that OKC series. So, you know, I have to wait and see how it plays out.
So plenty of drama. One of the many things we get to talk about with the guy you love, C, and I love as well, and he's the man who introduced us to Prince Street Pizza.
Definitely, definitely.
Marcus Stroman on R2C2. I just got the link to my call of I did the international feed of the Ruiz and Anthony Joshua fight.
So you were there.
I was, and it's fucking amazing, man, because you sit ringside.
You weren't expecting that.
Oh, no.
Nobody was expecting that.
You had to catch yourself on the call.
Yeah.
Wait, what happened?
What happened?
Great.
It was amazing.
That's why I didn't want them fighting anybody else, because I knew one of them was going to lose.
You know what?
That's true, man. It kind of ruined it now.
They ruined it.
It's true, man. So did you watch the fight, or did you see the highlights afterwards?
Highlights.
Yeah.
Highlights. I mean, the whole world went, I mean, Twitter went crazy.
Twitter went crazy, but like, nothing against DAZN. I know you work there, but like, nobody got that shit, dog. Ain't nobody watching them fucking fights.
But you know what? Now they'll have to.
I was so pissed.
Now they'll have to. You got to get it, man.
That's like the new wave, huh?
Yeah, now you have to get it. You know what I mean?
I'm hearing all the big fighters are going to that.
Triple G's fighting there, what, next week?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. This Saturday.
This Saturday.
Yeah. He's fighting on DAZN. It's true. Well, that's the idea, right? Like, you put enough, like, if you're going to want to watch Canelo Triple G, assuming Triple G wins and they fight in September, you're going to need the zone.
But nobody's going to watch Anthony Joshua now, though.
You think so? Wait.
Nobody's going to watch
him. You know what, though,
now,
man?
Bro.
What about the rematch?
I don't want to see that
You
shit.
Don't want to see it?
Hell no.
Everyone's expecting him to go in and knock him out. I feel like he's got to win that.
He has to.
I was so surprised of how athletic Ruiz was, though.
Yes.
Like, light on his feet. Like, he's a big guy. I mean, obviously, I'm a big guy, too, but, like, he was, like, moving good.
Yes.
Quick. He was quick.
Really quick.
Yeah.
It was surprising.
Yeah.
I loved your post about it. Like, as a fellow fat.
Oh, yeah. I was so excited, bro. Who needs abs? Fuck that
dying,
shit.
I was dying.
Oh, my God.
Giving me abs would be great, bro. Oh,
super proud.
That's so funny, man. But you're right. He's super fast. Hands are super fast. Also, like, we had our fighter meetings with him, and he flat out says, he's like, look, the only reason why people haven't taken me seriously is because of how I look.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you just watch me fight and you see what I've done in my career and that, his only loss had been a majority decision loss to Joseph Parker, who was the heavyweight champ at the time, or he had one of the four belts. Like, he actually, like, has good credentials. It's just he looks
I kind of
want to
see him fight Wilder, because Wilder's got the other belt, right?
Yes, he does. Yep. Yeah, that would be a unification fight, too.
Wilder,
but
man.
Wilder just took a fight, right? He just took a fight.
Yeah, Wilder kind of took two fights. He's fighting Ortiz in,
like, November,
September, and then he's fighting, like, Fury in December or something like that. Yeah.
I would want to see him fight Fury again.
Yeah,
that was a good fight.
Yeah.
And
Fury
can fight.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun, man. It's fun. Like, I will say, being at that event, sitting ringside, like, feeling the crazy crowd energy, like, Yeah, like in the United States, you couldn't hear me. You had to be in like Belgium. But the energy of the moment, you know, when you're at like a big sporting moment where you're just like, oh, that was history we just saw, yeah, you know, like,
sure,
like where you're just totally
that
shocked.
That was when we was at that Wilder fight. I told Siegel, I was like, bro, you take your phone out. He's about to knock this dude out. Like,
and you right just knew now, it?
We got it. Perfect timing.
Oh,
what a monster, bro.
Oh, man. My gosh. Scary.
I ain't getting in the
ring. Have you ever been to a fight, Marcus?
I've been to a couple UFC. I was at Aldo McGregor.
Oh, really? Okay.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
No big time boxing matches yet, but I want to.
Yeah.
I want to, but no big time boxing matches yet.
The energy of those like big events, it's crazy, man. It is.
The whole weekend, though.
Yes.
Like, if it's a Vegas fight, like, yes, the whole weekend is fun. You go to the weigh-in, yes, all that shit. Like, it's the fans get into it.
They really do, yeah, man. They really
need
do.
That, need that.
I know. Well, hopefully, I mean, it's a little different now, but maybe we still end up getting Joshua Wilder now down the road if Joshua can build himself back up.
He's
after Ruiz.
He's got to build himself way back up after that knockout, bro.
Oh, that's it. Hey, Marcus, we owe you a debt of real gratitude because you got us both hooked on Prince Street Pizza,
for
man.
Sure.
Got us both hooked,
for sure,
man.
Right?
Bomb.
Oh. Bomb, man. It's the best.
It
that's
is
That's why
the
it's
best.
Hard to have other pizza. Like, once you have that, everything else is like a step under, you know?
I went like just about 10 days ago. I was there just... Grab the pie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even grab slices no more. I grab the whole pie. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Real cool. All the people there are cool,
super
too.
Cool.
They'll come look out. But I like the olive vodka slice is my go-to, man.
Oh, really?
It
even more than
unnoticed.
The spicy spring?
Yeah. I'm the olive vodka guy, man.
Wow.
It's unreal.
This is interesting.
I love the
to
spicy
me.
Spring, too.
Yeah.
I love them all, but every time I go, it's olive vodka pie.
Ooh, yeah. All right. Just take it right back.
Dude.
Yeah. Oh.
It's unreal.
I mean... We went on that pizza tour right after, mm-hmm, you know, and that was our final stop. And it was the winner, man.
It was the winner.
And now it's like, I just moved to Soho a couple months ago, and I'm like...
Every day, you know.
Oh, well, it's tempting, man. I'm like an 8-minute walk from Prince Street.
They just did a pop up. They just did a pop up in LA. I seen Prince
really?
Street Pizza, like
Ooh.
A pop up.
Oh,
I've never
yeah,
even
yeah,
seen
yeah.
restaurants doing that.
Yeah, and I think they're gonna open one out there.
Oh, okay,
in LA.
Cool. Really?
Yeah.
Well,
that was right before I went. That
gotcha.
He was saying that they were doing the pop up.
Yeah, why not, man?
Be
yeah.
successful, man.
It's a cool little bakery on the corner. At the end of the street, too. At the end of Prince Street right there.
Oh,
Danny
is
always
it?
Parks right there, so
yeah.
I always go in there
yeah,
after,
Yeah, I know
too.
What you're talking
yeah.
about.
Little,
I don't know the name of it, but I know what you're talking about.
It's a little bakery right
yeah.
there.
It's good stuff?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I got to. I was telling C a couple weeks ago, there's a bakery in Soho, Dominique Ansel. You ever been there?
Never.
That's where I got to bring you in the Cronut.
Their
Cronut is just like, it's like life becomes just periods of time between Cronuts, you know? like just like
I'm
when could you
guy. I love that.
Just when, you know, when can you get to a next one? So, Marcus, have you missed us, man? Because
yeah,
like
man, I've been waiting.
Yeah.
this is like, you know what I mean? I don't speak much. I don't do much, but this is like one podcast I'm always looking to come on.
We appreciate that,
know?
Man.
We
you know,
appreciate that.
You're R2C2 family, man. I I feel like lately you've been making all kinds of great headlines that we get to talk about at our first center, right? But you know, first and foremost, I thought you know you were talking the other day, and you know you're very active on social media, and you were talking about losing and mm-hmm. how much it's bothering you, and for some reason it felt like maybe some sort of backlash or reaction to mm-hmm. it, but like I get it, man. Like you've been used to winning here, you know, save last year. You guys have been very competitive for a while.
True.
Like, losing's got to be, it's got to suck, man. It has to be ridiculously hard to deal with.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I'm sure C can attest to this. I'm sure he's been on some organization like that, but it just magnifies everything. You know what I mean? It's hard to have fun. It's hard to go about things exactly how you want to, especially when you start to build up losses. And I wasn't saying that in any negative nature when I was talking about losing. I was just talking about kind of how I was built, how my dad built me. Losing wasn't even acceptable when I was younger. You know what I mean? I would see my dad's face and it was like, I can't lose today. You know what I mean? He's not allowing it. So I've kind of always had that nature. I mean, so it's hard. You know what I mean? I'm a super competitive person. And like I said, I want to win more than anything. And I think everybody in our clubhouse wants to win. We're just going through a little bit of a spurt. But I think we'll build. And like I said, it's a long, long season. So you can put together 10, 15 games in a row where you have 12 wins. And that kind of can turn the thing around.
It's always harder, too, when you come up and you win.
Mm-hmm.
Like I came up in Cleveland. We won and went to the playoffs that first year. And then the next 5 or 6, we know it was bad, you mm-hmm. know, up until 2007. Like kind of the rebuilding process. So it's tough. I mean, obviously when you want to win and you know, you get to get to this level, you've been a winner your whole life, you
For
know?
Sure.
So Getting up here and then, you know, having to accept, you know, going through a rebuilding process makes it tough, for sure.
What is, I mean, your sport's different, too, because it's long. I mean, 162 games, if you're on a team that's struggling, I mean, how do you end up, like, getting yourself through a season like that?
Oh, I mean, you play it. I mean, you know, it's a game that you love to play, and you have pride in what you do. So you go out and do your job to the best of your ability, and you know, you just live with the results. You know, you have to kind of frame it in a different way where it's not about wins and losses. It's just about how everybody's performing and you know, if they're getting better, you know, and in the process and, you know, trying to get better and, you know, to get to that end goal, which is to, you know, actually start winning games.
Are you able to sit there then, Marcus, and, like, I mean, how do you deal with it? Because, like, you guys are going through a rebuilding year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you may be in the prime of your career, but you have a lot of young talent that could soon be very impactful on the major league level, but they're going to be learning, right? Do you, like, just focus in on you and what you need to do, and does that get you through it? Or like, how do you kind of access little victories, even if you guys aren't going to have the big ones?
No, I don't think you focus on you. Baseball, you need all nine. Like, it's such a team sport, you know what I mean? So I think it's just more of the battle to keep the team morale good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, we all love each other in that clubhouse. We're all brothers, and we're all going to go out there and compete each and every day to our best ability. I think it's just about keeping the mental at a place where it doesn't start to waver and then losses start to turn into negative energy in the clubhouse, negative energy off, out of the clubhouse. You don't want it to kind of just make your whole life miserable. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just a matter of, like, CC finding little checkpoints, little bonuses that you could see, like, oh, this is what we did today, where we can kind of build on that going forward. And all right, we're at least getting better. We're not trending down. We're starting to figure it out and start to trend upward.
Mm. You guys kind of had that in 2016, the second half of the year, once, like, Gary came up and stuff, where it's like, oh, like, you feel like, even though the playoffs weren't necessarily an option, it's like, oh, you feel like you're building something.
Yeah, for sure. But even, you know, early in 2016, we realized we weren't gonna make the playoffs, and, you know, we started trading everybody. I'm sitting there looking like, I'm not going through no rebuilding. Fuck that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you start to, you know, start to think that maybe you know, maybe time for you to go too and go to a place where you can win. You know, Carlos was left, and then Andrew had got traded. So I'm kind of sitting there like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Do I want to sit through a rebuilding? And then Gary came up 10 days later, rebuilding was over. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just happened to us. It happened for us so fast because of the talent that we had. But yeah, I mean, even that fucking 2 weeks, 3 weeks when before he came up, started hitting homers, it was rough. Like, you're really sitting there. I'm having conversations with Amber. Like, do I, you know, what do we do? Like, do I want to sit here and go through rebuilding? I know I can pitch a little longer and, but at that point in my career, you don't want to lose.
Yeah, facts, man.
I mean, and I know C's later on in his career, or was later on in his career at that point than you are now, but these are probably similar things that you're going to be dealing with or already are with, because, you know, I mean, I know, you know, your name's out there every day, right? As a guy who, hey, Toronto's in a rebuild. Marcus Stroman's an attractive starting pitcher. People are going to want him. How closely do you follow that? How much do you think about that?
I mean, you see it. Even if people say they don't see it, man, you see it.
It's hard not to.
It's hard not to. And if you don't see it, you hear it from somewhere, from some point in your life, somebody. So, yeah, I see it. I'm pretty active. Honestly, it doesn't bother me to that point. I feel like I've always been in trade talks. But I've honestly been doing a good job of just focusing on, like, living in, like, the present moment and every day. Like, a lot of that's out of your control. I've started to realize that. I don't waste energy on things that I can't control. And I love Toronto. I've loved this country. I love this city for a long time. I love being here, not only in the clubhouse, but also away from the field. Yeah. I love everything I have set up, my friendships, the community, the society, everything about it. So I love being here. So at the end of the day, I'm just kind of doing everything I can here, and then everything else will kind of take care of itself.
Do you guys get it? Like, if you get in a situation where, you know, an organization kind of says, look, this is where we're at, this is where you're at, I think it could help both of us to put you in a, you know, more competitive situation and us to stockpile, right? It could end up being your situation. Maybe it doesn't. How much of a back and forth is there between front office and player? Like, hey, can you, if you're going to deal me, could you maybe try and get me to one of these situations?
I think it depends on your relationship with them.
Yeah.
And the relationship that you have with the organization and the city and all that stuff. I mean, when I was going through it in Cleveland, it was the same. It was Mark, you know, Shapiro. So, you know, I'm super close with him, and, you know, I didn't want to know anything. You know, I was trying to stay away from it. I knew I was getting traded. I mean, I knew I was getting traded. So, it's no point in like talking about it all the time. You know, just let me know when you trade me and I'll go from there.
And you didn't say, hey, I'd prefer here or here, none of that?
That's honestly, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to know because then it just becomes something added to your mind.
And then you start thinking about if a city pops up, then you start thinking about playing in that city. You know what I'm saying? And then that don't happen and you disappoint. So I didn't care. You know, I knew I was getting traded. I didn't want to talk about it all the time. So, you know, they didn't even, you know, I found out off my phone when we landed on the plane. And
really?
The travel secretary, I got off the plane, the travel secretary was crying. Aww. And like, it was crazy. You know what I'm saying? So it was just, it was one of those trippy things where, same thing, where I had my friend set up, I had a network set up in Cleveland, and I thought I was never leaving. You know, that was my home. I got drafted by them when I was 17. This is my place, you know? So, it worked out in a good way, just realizing that baseball is baseball. I walked in the Milwaukee clubhouse, felt like I had been there for 10 years. You know what I mean? And it all was good. So, you know, I mean, I cried. It was tough and everything. But, you know, as soon as I got to Milwaukee, it was turn the page and let's go.
Basically, I just want to make sure, you know, I do my part if we need to bring you to the Yankees. That's why I bring you up. So I just want to know I've done my part.
Could you imagine, like, every telecast you do, like, on ESPN, somebody's like, oh, he might go to TNT. Oh, he might go to Fox.
Yeah.
It's fucking annoying,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, every time you
That's
do
a good
it,
way to put it.
You know what I mean? Like, every time you do the zone, like, oh, he might go to pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit, it gets annoying after a while.
But let me hear how much money is associated with each location.
But for us, it ain't no money. Yeah,
I know.
Getting traded.
I know, man.
You know what
I'm
saying?
It is ridiculously difficult. You're 100% right. And because the other part of it is, besides the fact that you don't have control over it, so it's like people ask you about it, like me, and you're like, well, you know, there's nothing I can do. But it's also like, there are so many factors besides just putting on a uniform and playing the game. It's your whole life, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of logistical things that change.
And that's what we were talking to Manny about, being a free agent. You know, when you have a family.
Talking about Machado the other day.
Going through free agency is tough. You know, it's not what you think it's going to be. It's not a lot of fun. It's just, it's a lot of anxiety because you're trying to set up your life for the future. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's everything is about that moment. So it makes it a little tough.
You know what? Just even what you're saying, kind of joking about the example with the networks, but I see it even if there's like somebody who reaches out about a job that I'm not even that interested in. And all of a sudden it's like in your head a little bit like, wait, could I do that?
Yeah,
like, I don't know what
I mean?
So I can't even imagine when it's
about
like
the city.
Yeah, exactly. What is Salt Lake like?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no. Yeah. Marcus, I love what you said before though about like kind of like staying present, because we know, you know, you're a cerebral guy and you're, you know, you're a very woke dude, you know. I don't know where that word is anymore, like as far as like if it's cool or not to say, but it's always it's always what I use to describe Joe Rogan, and I love listening to his podcast. Just like you know, very aware, you know, and like, and I'm wondering, like, what kind of things do you do? Like, are you a guy who likes to meditate, read? How do you, I think we talked about meditation last time, but how do you stay present like that?
Yeah, both. I'm starting to really try to get into meditation. I've been doing it, but it's definitely kind of something I want to start doing daily. I read a ton. I do music. I make music. I'm in the studio every so often. Anything to kind of clear my mind. I've done a good job at just focusing on my mind, which I feel like I've kind of neglected in the past, and I've let things kind of get in disarray just because I didn't have my thought process in the right place. So now I'm do things to kind of get away from baseball, to kind of clear my mind. And that's kind of first and foremost. And when I kind of set that, everything else takes care of itself. So yeah, meditation. I'm really close with my buddy, Mike Seander, Mike Studd. He's a rapper. He does music, and me and him, he's very into meditation, very into just kind of focusing on your mental. And we're always having conversations. We're always giving each other books. Anything I can do, man. And ever since I've been doing it, I've been in a lot better place. To be honest with you. Yeah. Everything doesn't get out of control. I feel much more at ease. I feel much more calm, and I'm able to kind of lock it in when I need to. And I know that I have my distractions that allow me to lock it in when I need to. So
that's got to be great for pitching too, right? Mm-hmm. Like on the mound, like just, I mean, in the game, being able to like slow shit down and, take your time and, you know, one pitch at a time. The kid last night was doing a good job of that.
Trent.
Thornton. He did a great job of that. I mean, he got into some trouble a little bit, but like, you know, early in the game, he, you know, walked around the mound, took, you know, take a deep breath. And that's hard to do, you know, especially as a young pitcher, and finding that balance is where you really start to take off and become that next level pitcher.
100%. And like, just like you said, I felt like early in my career in like 14, 15, I was so live or die, like every pitch. I was like I wanted to just like put the ball through the catcher's head every pitch, you know what I mean? And it took away from me.
Mm-hmm.
My body was more sore in between starts. Like my arm wouldn't recover as well. Even in game, I would miss on pitches because I was so amped up
about the last pitch or worried about exactly. Just trying to do too much. Yeah.
Now I've done a really good job, and people always look at me on the mound like this is some crazy guy. Blah blah blah. I'm a big self talker. I've worked with Trevor Mawad recently, who's another guy who I reach out to, who helps kind of put me where I need to be when might go off. But he's big into self-talk, and that's one thing I'm always doing on the mound. I'm talking to myself, like, honestly, 95% of the time. If I get fired up and someone says something, I might say something, but I talk to myself a lot, and a lot of it's about breathing. Like, I tell myself, like, breathe, get in your breath, relax, chill out, calm down. I just got to keep your cool tatted on my hand to, like, look down when I'm in a moment and just say, like, relax, sit back, and just chill.
Out, yeah. Because
when I'm chill, I don't make many bad pitches, I've realized. My bad pitches come when I'm usually amped up, too in the moment, too aggressive. When I'm relaxed out there and my mechanics work like they need to, everything take care of itself. So that's the biggest thing, is trying to find your zen on and off the field, man. I think it kind of takes care of everything.
That was the biggest thing for me, is like living and die with every pitch. I would live and die with every pitch. And then I would let the umpires, like, if they didn't call it a strike, that would piss me off.
Yep.
And then I'm three pitches later, you know what I'm saying? Maybe gave up a home run, a double or something.
Exactly.
I don't even know what the fuck happened. I'm still mad about four pitches ago.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, now if you watch me on the mound, I won't even, if they check for, you know, if the guy checks swings, I won't
even
look.
It don't matter. I realize that.
It don't matter. It's the next pitch. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter if it's a ball or strike, whatever. I'm on to the next pitch.
I love that.
I've never noticed that about you.
I can't let anything take away from my focus of what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'm only out there for two and a half, three hours. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm locked in on this, and that's what I have to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I can't let anything else distract me from that, because I can, and I can. It happens to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm emotional, just like he is, and shit can get away from you quick.
Of course. Is there a particular book that has had a bigger impact than others when it comes to shaping your mentality or helping you get to that peaceful place?
Probably, the Seven Spiritual Laws of Success by Chopra.
Okay,
that's
nice.
A book that I read before every start. I go back to.
Wow.
It's a reference. It's not a book you read just one time. It's like a reference book to me.
Yeah.
I've read it through multiple times, but I'll go back to certain chapters, certain pages. I have highlights. I have a bunch of pages saved, but I think that's a book that has done wonders for me.
You know what's funny? I love reading those kind of books, and I guess they used to be, classified as like self-help books, but to me that sounds so dramatic. It's it's like self-evolution books or whatever, you know what I mean? It's just like kind of interesting introspective books, right? And I feel like whenever I read one of those, like especially as soon as I'm done, like, or I'm in the middle of reading it when I really get lost and I'm like reading like 20 straight pages, like I just hit such a peaceful, serene place where you're just like, why am I worrying about this bullshit?
Exactly. Well, that's what it helped. That's exactly what it's helped me do and why I keep referencing it.
Yeah.
Especially being an athlete, like you get so caught up in the moment. Like sometimes we forget about the things that truly matter in life that are kind of outside of baseball. Like
everything outside of baseball is what matters the most.
Exactly.
But for us, baseball matters the most.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So like him doing music, him doing stuff away from the field, me having my family, like anything that can distract you away from this shit, you know what I'm saying?
Helps us be better out here.
Yes, it helps you. Like when it's all this, it's hard, man. Mm-hmm. It makes it harder.
It's a great point. Right. Just being able to have the perspective of there's more allows you to be more effective at this.
It's so hard though when you're young and you know what I'm saying? When you're younger and you haven't been through a lot, you know what I'm saying? It makes it hard to kind of put this in perspective.
I mean,
you know
I'm just
saying?
Now, I don't have it figured out. You know what I mean? I'm always working on myself daily.
And you'll always be.
Exactly.
You'll always be.
Exactly.
I'm 19 years in. I'm still working on my shit, you know?
100%.
Yeah. I mean,
but I didn't even think about starting to work on this until, you know what I mean? Within the last probably year and a half, I've been more proactive on it.
Because
like you said, when you're younger, it's just like,
you just go.
Go, pitch, deal, that's it. Like, I got a deal. That's it.
But for me, that was the thing that was holding me back. My emotions and, like, my demeanor out on the mound. It wasn't my talent. It wasn't my ability. It was my mental.
100%.
So I had to address it. That's how I was going to be out the league. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was, like, right there in my face where I had to, like, come up with a solution.
Do you remember, like, was there a moment where it, like, switched for you or you felt like, oh, okay, like, now I've made a big stride?
Yeah, it was just, it was taking the umpires out of it for me. And, I mean, obviously, you see, I still get frustrated by umpires, you know what I'm saying?
Usually you save it for the end of the inning, though.
But it was maybe the middle of my third year, 2003, And, you know, I had a talk with Charlie Marr, which was our mental coach at the time. And he was just like, just take the umpires out of it. It don't matter if they're out there or not. Don't matter if it's a ball or strike. Just go one pitch at a time, 120 pitches. Let me see if you can lock it in. How far, how long can you do that?
Yeah.
And once I started doing it, I was like, oh, this is, oh, mm-hmm. fuck these guys. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. it don't matter. You know what I'm saying?
It's
it
doesn't your control, matter. It's out of
it, it, yeah. when, once the ball leaves my hand.
Yep.
It's all out of my control. You know, you control what you can control, and then after that, live with the results. Exactly. It is what it is.
There's also, like, there's some point you reach to, I feel like, where it's like you understand that obsessing over it or being frustrated by it or replaying it or reliving it, it's just not an effective way to achieve anything, right? Like, so part of it is sort of an emotional serenity you reach, and the other part of it is this mental aspect you finally realize where you're like, oh, wait, no, tangibly, this will not do me any good. Mm-hmm. You know, like it, I obviously it's much different pitching than broadcasting. But like when I'm 32 now, when I started doing play by play, if I like mess something up, it would eat me up forever. And it would bother me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like now, I mean, if I'm talking extemporaneously for 3 hours, I'm going to say some things differently than I want to. That's mm-hmm. life. That's being human, right? So now if I say something differently than I want to, it bothers me for a half second, just like I'm sure it still bothers you right when you see the ball about to leave the yard on the pitch you made, right? But then I'm like, okay, you know, like yeah. that happened and won't happen again or whatever. You know what I mean?
That's growth.
Yeah. Right
there, yeah.
You know? That's how I am too. Like, thank you say that. Like, I've done a better job of, in a moment like that where I feel like things are starting to unravel, I go off the mound and I find like a place way up where I want to look, and I just take a couple breaths now. And I feel like that just puts me right back where I need to be. In the past, I was getting right back on the mound like this. Fuck that. Let's go. Let's go. I'm going to strike this guy out right now.
Yeah.
And then by having that mental and by having that like wantingness to do it so bad, worst pitch, hanger, middle of the plate, another double, homer. Now I've been able to draw back. I feel like the biggest thing for me is in the big moment, I don't need to do more. I need to do less.
Yep. Mm.
So that's, but just like growth, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've experienced the kind of both sides.
This reminds me of one of my favorite Star Wars lines.
What?
Yeah, it's from episode 4 from A New Hope, and Princess Leia says to Grand Moff Tarkin, like, the more you tighten your grip, the more star systems slip through your fingers. And
that's
it's
a great line.
That right? is
a great I don't line. Even know. I didn't
How
even
come up like you remember that. Like,
he said episode 4.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's sick, though. I love it.
The Star Wars references I always have. But it's true, right? Like, if you try it, the more it slips through.
Yeah.
Like, you know? Like, yeah. It really
You
does.
Know, it was the best I saw at that? Kevin Millwood. I pitched with him in 05. He pitched in Cleveland. And he would just, he'd get runners on. He would slow the game down.
Down, yeah.
And it would just come to a halt. The other team would be screaming and hollering. And he out there one pitch at a time.
Dude, all the best do it, man. They slow the game down, which, like, nowadays, like, pace of play and stuff, guys get on. But I've, like, done some study on that. Like, how much time, like Kluber, Sale, like Kershaw, like they take in between pitches, and it's greater than the average.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing. When guys get on, they're able to sit there and just be like wait it out on the mound and just wait till that guy calls time and wait till his hands get stagnant and now they're pitching. Mm. Whereas when you're just like madding in the moment,
you're
almost
going
in the
right
rhythm.
Away.
You're going
you're right
the
with them.
You're right with them. That's like what I try to explain to people. Same thing with my timing. You know what I mean? I'm trying to be the worst dance partner out there with the batter. That's all I'm trying to do.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
Nick
Castellanos. I've had a talk with Nick Castellanos. He came up to me. He's like, Stro. He's like, don't let anyone tell you to never mess with timing when you're pitching. He's like, why you're effective? He's like, pitching and hitting, he's like, it's a dance. He's like, I want to be in rhythm with the pitcher. He's like, whatever move they make, I want to make it too. So their thought process is when they get in the box, hitters are so in tune to have the same approach. Step in the box. Yeah. All right, boom. Step in the box. They're in a rhythm, which you don't even realize. You take them out of that rhythm, they hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They hate it, which they hate me for, but like, that's, I'm just trying
Sorry
to get
you're
them
being
off.
Effective. Yeah.
That's how good they are.
Yeah.
You're that good. I got to do that. I'm sorry.
You know, you were talking about the emotion before, which you both show a lot of when you're on the mound. And we were having this conversation with Manny Machado the other day. You know, something we talk about a lot. Like, even as a fan, as a consumer of the product, I love it. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, to me, there's nothing that I like more as a fan than knowing the people I'm rooting for are just as engaged, right? And they care just as much and hopefully more than you do as a fan, right? Like, to see total apathy on the mound, that's not like, I don't, that's not as entertaining, you know? That's not.
I almost put in this perspective, right? I've like said this to some people before.
Yeah.
Take a fan, your normal fan, right? put them, they're in rec leagues, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Put them, let's say their favorite sport's basketball, rec league basketball championship, right? They hit a three. What are they going to do?
Fist pump.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's what me pitching is like every single day. That's what I feel like.
Right.
That's my energy.
Right.
That's how excited I am to go out there and pitch in a big league game every single day and pitch against big league batters. That's how I feel. I'm
you know
that
what's crazy?
Amped.
I don't ever even apologize for my emotion. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I really don't. Yeah. Like, and it don't matter who it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to win, and that's what comes out of it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I mean, I don't ever apologize for that. Like, I don't feel bad about it. I don't care. I don't give a fuck. Like, I just did something good. I'm going to celebrate it. I don't care. Like, you know what I'm saying? You hit a homer, you can celebrate it. It is what it is. I've always said this. I've said this for years. I mean, I like the pure emotion of the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
That shit is so much fun to watch.
Intense.
You watch a regular baseball game, you can't watch this shit, bro. Yeah. It's hard to watch. Sorry, baseball fans. Shit is hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just is. You know what I'm saying? So, I want to see Derek Dietrich hit a ball 900 feet and walk to first base.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to see him walk? Don't give up the fucking homer.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? It is what it is, bro.
And if I punch you out, just be okay with that,
too. It is what it is, man.
Just don't strike out.
You know what I'm saying?
And I hate when people try and, like, make the whole, like, because sometimes you will hear people say, like, oh, well, this isn't the Yankee way.
Fuck
oh,
that,
my gosh. There is nothing that bothers me
nothing
more.
Nothing about the unwritten rules,
oh,
the Yankee
yeah,
way.
Gosh.
All of that shit. All of that shit is out 2019,
oh, my gosh.
I agree. You know well, you guys still, did you still get that? That's still a thing
it's
for some
crazy.
Reason.
It's ridiculous to
we
me.
I got that the whole time with the strobe light and the fog machine after wins. Like, the Yankees win. I don't give a fuck what the Yankees are doing it.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, exactly. Also, like, the thing that drives me nuts about this is it's like who wants to be the person who tells someone they can't have two birthday parties?
Yeah.
Like, you want to celebrate your birthday Friday and Saturday? Go nuts. Like, have a blast.
And
like,
you adapt with time.
Yeah,
with the time.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you gotta adapt
man.
And change through
time,
life.
Man.
You can't stay the same. Think about if society would stay the same. Think about if society was still using carrier pigeons to send messages.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
But even just like, but look at my team. Look at my team. Like, this young.
Yeah, yeah, man.
We
exactly.
Have fun.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to
for those guys.
Yes.
Because it makes them play better.
For those guys more than for us.
Exactly.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's more for those guys.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's about whatever's true to you, right? Like, maybe that wouldn't have been what's true to Posada or
no,
Pettit.
But it's
guess
true
what?
To,
it's true to these
Yankees,
guys.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And it really is.
Exactly.
It is.
And that's why, and I love it. I find it so entertaining. You, with, you know, your style of pitching, you very much are emotional like that.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I know Alex Cora kind of had a thing with that recently too, right?
Yeah,
like where he kind of like, I don't know.
I don't
what
know.
Do you call
you
it
need
the
to check the,
show?
You need to check the replay, yeah.
I don't know.
Cora
like reached out through mutual friends and said he didn't mean anything of it.
Got you. So it's been squashed?
Yeah, it's been
so
squashed.
So you don't want to like, you don't want to cause R2C2 headlines?
No, but did you see the video? I did nothing wrong. You would die if you saw the video.
Let's see. This was against Boston?
Yeah, dude.
See if I can pull it up on.
Dude, Chavis is in the box, right?
Okay.
Legit. He gets in the box. I'm ready to pitch. He calls time out, bro. Steps out. Dude does his thing. Steps back in the box. I pitch right away. He got mad.
Oh,
he wanted me to wait more.
Oh, no. See, I would have stepped off.
All right. Here we go.
But wait till you
we'll
see.
Pull it up. Oh, John Boyd did
no, no, this
that.
Isn't it. This,
this
is another
it?
One.
Oh, this is another
see,
one.
Everybody's always getting mad.
Yeah, sure.
This wait. Is another one.
Wait.
I'll bring it up.
Illegal quick pitch?
I'll bring it up.
I would have. I would see when he stepped off like that, I would have stepped off.
Bring it, yeah, see if you can bring it.
Dude,
it just,
that's I didn't do that. That's what most people would have done.
CeCe,
I stayed right there.
And just went.
But like he was trying to mess up my rhythm, right? So like it's a game, man. Who cares? Like
yeah, pull it up. Let's and we'll look at it. So this was how many what is this? 2 weeks ago? Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I got it on
Marcus
pitching ninja.
Apparently
pitching
quick
ninja.
Pitched Michael Chavis and Alex Cora then had some comments for Marcus. Afterwards.
But it wasn't even a quick pitch. Like I've done way worse. And guys in the league are doing way worse than me, man. So watch, this is the whole segment.
Okay. And I'll describe it for our listening audience. So Marcus walks behind the mound. He's rubbing up the ball, and Michael Chavis is getting ready to step into the box.
Well, you're good at this play-by-play shit.
Hey, thanks, man. Chavis 0 for 1 today. Ground
so I'm on the mound ready to pitch
second.
Right now. Which he calls timeout.
Time Chavis out. Calls timeout. Marcus was ready to pitch. He's on the rubber
there,
in the set. He just stayed there. So Marcus doesn't get off the rubber.
Let's go.
Chavis gets back in
and
Marcus
swings at
the ball.
It.
And then he swung at the
He swung at it.
Yeah.
So, dude.
Oh, so he was, yeah.
He swung
so what
at
what you mad about?
Vladdy, obviously, you guys know Vladdy is, but just threw the ball away, whatever. Gets to first. He starts barking at me.
Chavis did from first.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So I was like, I didn't want to say
anything. Did you go back at him then?
I said something quick because I know what he said to me. I said something quick. And then Sale started barking at me and then Core started barking at me, man. I was like,
see, that's what
I'm not even in the wrong here, bro. You've seen that. Like,
that's what I'm not going to have. Yeah. Some young dude coming up yelling at me.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That was.
That's not going to work.
No.
I'm not going to say what he said to me either. But I got it here.
Oh, man. I bet you do. Yeah. So, I mean, you're on the mound. You're in the set.
That was his fault.
He steps out. You never leave the mound. Stay there. He steps back in.
He expected you to step off.
Yes. He expected me to step off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he got back in. I waited for him. And then he swung at the pitch.
So what you mad about?
Yeah.
My point,
the fuck
bro.
Out of here.
Oh, my gosh.
So his controversy went on the mound, man.
Oh, I know.
Crazy.
I love it.
I know. And you're pitching great, man.
Thank you.
You're having a great year,
thank
man.
Thank you. My body feels good, man.
Yeah.
Body and mind.
I was about to say your mind seems like it's more in a better place
than
anything.
Much clear,
that's
my mind feels
awesome.
Clear.
It's going to be so effective when you're with the Yankees. I'm really looking forward to all this.
You're going to get me in trouble.
Did you grow up with that? Did you grow up a Mets or Yankee?
Honestly, like both. I grew up going to Shea Stadium and Yankee Stadium, watching both. So I was just like a New York fan. You know what I mean? Just,
what about
just
hoops?
Jeter.
And,
I was a huge Jeter fan.
And hoops and football.
Knicks and football was kind of whatever too. I used to go watch both.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So now,
just a sports fan.
Hoops wise, have you become a Raptors fan being here?
Yeah, man. You got
it. Yeah.
It's hard not to.
Yeah.
Like when I was in Cleveland, I would go to those games all the time.
Yeah.
That's how me and LeBron developed that relationship. So
yeah.
It was, when you play in that city, and obviously what they're doing right now is great.
Yeah, great culture.
But
do you know what team C roots for, Marcus? Because I think you've been told information that maybe C has multiple teams he roots for.
I've heard Cavs, and then now I'm hearing Warriors. I don't know. I heard the Warriors in the finals, so I suppose he's with the Warriors now. LeBron left.
I take so much shit from my basketball. Like, not from, like, from everybody.
Yeah.
Because I grew up a Lakers fan, obviously.
Yeah, I got some for you, too. He's not the only guy I got ammo on today.
Oh, no. What you got for me?
Matt Siegel been texting, for sure.
First off, I know it's impossible to get to, but I want to get to one of your softball, one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Post-career, but yeah.
Even next year, every time. If you guys in town.
That's what I'm saying. We're in town, I'm there.
Yeah,
you know, you're going to be a Yankee, so it's going to be a lot easier for you to go.
Now off that, I'm here, you're drawing walks and walks? What are we doing?
Hey. Now,
walks? You trying to get your OBP up? What you trying to get? Your slug? Your OPS?
My OBP is fucking amazing. All right? My OBP is pristine.
If Tino hits a homer, then it's not a big deal.
CC's been like my big bro with this defending me. Yeah, so I'll describe to you the circumstance. Mm-hmm. So we're down three.
Okay.
We're down three.
It's late innings. I think it was the fifth inning.
Yeah, we played six.
And we played six. Amber gets a hit with two outs. She's on base.
Knox. Amber's amazing, by the way. Amber,
she
shout to you, Amber.
She is amazing.
Your goals.
She put
of
that
life.
Whole thing in.
Oh my gosh. And it was so much fun. It was amazing.
Yeah. It was better.
But so I'm up. And, you know, first of all, it's in slow pitch. I play with Siegel on our team, and it's like modified. And like that.
What does that mean?
What's fun? It's like, it's not windmill. It's not fast pitch, but you don't throw slow pitch. Like, you're trying to get them out, but like as hard as you could throw it without doing windmill.
So you can only like draw it back.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I will say,
how do they monitor that?
I was about to say.
Yeah, there's a little bit. Exactly. Like, you could go a little higher or lower, but for the most part, and I will say, like, if you were going to hit, like, you know, I don't know. Let's say you're going to hit 600.
This is way too much explaining
right
fine.
Now. All right, I just give you a scenario. I'm excited to hit because it's slow pitch,
I got you.
Who's pitching, Fat Joe?
Someone else is pitching. It wasn't Fat Joe.
Fat Joe's on
but
our team.
But anyway, I get three pitches that are nowhere. I'd like pitching nowhere near. So I would just be getting myself out. Like, I'm talking about like in the other batter's box in the third.
It would have looked bad if he swung.
Yes, gotcha. It would have been selfish
as hell.
Gotcha,
gotcha. It was bad.
And now it's 3-0, and Tino's on deck as a tying run. And the final pitch was a little closer, but still a ball. It was like at my head, but this time over the plate. But at my head and ball four. So at that point, it's 3-0, and I'm thinking, I'm not swinging at anything.
It was perfect. He actually gets a pass.
See, thank you. See, you
know, I didn't know the scenario. I didn't get the details.
I would have been honest.
I didn't get the details.
Nah. Yeah. It was all in.
Siegel, you're wrong for that one. You're wrong for that one, Siegel.
Oh, that's right. I love he's giving you ammo. So how about these finals, guys? Because this is, we're recording on Thursday. It's releasing on Thursday.
KD's playing tomorrow, guys.
You think for sure?
Yes.
Is that, wait, are you breaking that news?
I heard KD's not coming back all series.
If he don't come back, the Raptors will win.
That's your, you feel confident
I've said
in that statement.
I've said that from the beginning. They need KD to win the series. And if KD comes back, they're going, I mean, whatever games he's playing, they're going to win.
You think they will not lose a game KD plays in? How do you feel, Marcus?
I don't think they'd lose a home game, KD back.
You think
I think they'd lose at least one with KD in Toronto.
Yeah.
In Toronto.
Yeah. Dude, it's crazy what they got going on.
It's just a good matchup.
The vibes there, it's loud, man.
And it's a good matchup for the Warriors. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like the Raptors are a good matchup without KD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way they can run and they're long and they can defend.
But like you said, KD and Clay and Curry, man,
it's tough.
Three of the best snipers ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
They're unbelievable. I mean, yeah, getting Clay back is huge for them, too.
Mm-hmm. I've been loving the Drake trolling, bro. I love it because
they're playing Push the Tees.
You can't troll
greatness.
The guys that you got tatted on you. You know what I'm saying? That's like if I had...
They covered it up, though.
That's like if I had Saquon Barkley tattooed on me, right?
Nah.
And then the Raiders came to play the Giants, and I tried to troll them.
Yeah, like, I got you.
What are you talking about? You can't do that.
I've seen you begin on everyone.
You can't do that.
I seen you post the close-ups of the tattoos.
You can't do that, man. First of all...
No comment. God, Drake's my guy, bro. Drake's my guy. I love that energy he's bringing, bro.
You know what's funny, man, is I love Drake. And I love...
Who don't love Drake?
I know. But
it's the fandom. It's hilarious.
Yeah, but like, I love him on the sidelines even. I mean, like...
Yeah,
I,
no
like,
problem. I didn't have a problem with it. I thought Milwaukee was crazy for crying about it.
Coach
especially.
Like, come on, bro. What are you talking about? This guy ain't shooting no fucking baskets. You know what I'm saying? Like, get the fuck
he ain't running on the court.
He's just mad because you're losing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So... I don't have a problem with his fandom. I just don't think you control the team that you got. You literally had these guys tatted on your arm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
which is, that in itself is interesting.
That is interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, that's very interesting. That's what I'm saying. Like, if for me to have a Khalil Mack tattoo,
yeah.
I love the Raiders. I love Khalil Mack, but I'm never getting them tattooed.
Do you have any athletes tatted on your knee?
Is that a serious question?
I wish you could see CeCe's face.
Little C.
Yeah.
He's going to be a sick athlete.
You got a bunch of tattoos, Marcus.
I do, man.
What kind of
stuff like
you got
I just
on?
Got, bro. I'm going to see this one. I just got Denzel from Training Day.
Oh, really?
That's clean.
Oh, that's
dope.
Sick, man.
Yeah.
Who does all that work?
So who did this is that Steve Wiebe did this whole back piece. He's the guy that ESPN just did a huge special on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the guy from
he's from Abbotsford, Vancouver.
Yeah, from Vancouver. Yeah.
Who do you have above him there?
This is Scarlett Johansson as a devil.
Ooh.
I'm putting Megan Good as an angel on my left shoulder.
Nice.
Scotch Pine.
So he did all of this work?
He did my whole back.
That's dope.
Yeah. Wow.
I also have Levi Reimer from Abbotsford. It's Rihanna, CN Tower, Wine Glass, Orchid. Still working, but he's also from Vancouver.
You did all
too.
These within the last
offseason.
Yeah, offseason, right?
Yeah. This offseason, I'll be done, bro. Upper body.
You know what's crazy? I was gonna do my whole chest and everything this offseason. I had started. Remember, I got the kids tatted. They're spirit animals. But then I had the heart thing.
Yeah.
So I can't get tats now until December. But once I get December, I'm going crazy.
Because of blood thinners and whatnot?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I want to do... I'm going to get my legs and everything, bro.
I'm completely finishing my upper body this offseason, and then I'm going to take a year off and then start my legs.
Your body's like a gosh damn Rembrandt.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like a canvas, man. I love it, man.
I love it, too, right?
I love it. Just seeing what you can...
Yeah.
Exactly. And who sees... Like, only I really get to truly see them all. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean... Your artists have done wonderful jobs, like with the work you guys have with it.
People don't realize how much time and paint, like mentally too. Like I tell people, like I'm like I sit through like 10-hour tattoo sessions. I'm like I could do anything.
But even months of leading up to like, should I get this? How should I get it? What I'm saying? Like that leading up, like it's a lot. It's a big process.
It's a process
getting
a
tattoo, especially if you're really into it. You know.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever met Megan Good or Scarlett Johansson?
No. I've always been like those have always been my two since I was a little kid.
Really?
I've always just been a fan of both of those. Yeah,
I understand why. I am a huge Megan Good fan too. Did you ever see her in
Waist Deep?
Californication.
No. She was in Californication?
She was in Californication.
Cousin Skeeter. She used to be on Cousin Skeeter when I was younger.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, she was in Californication for
man.
A second.
Yeah, dude. She looks so good in Californication. Yeah, you
what a show. I forgot about that show.
Oh, that show. Have you ever seen that show?
No, that was a good show. It was
phenomenal.
A good show.
It came
on Showtime. Yeah, it's got like 6 or 7 seasons.
Yeah, exactly. It's good. What's the main character's name? Hank Moody. Is that his name? Yeah.
I just started, Black Mirror started yesterday.
Oh,
everyone's into Black Mirror.
Black Mirror's crazy, though.
Different show every time. Right?
Different show every time, and it's always something different,
something
like
with
Twilight
technology.
Zone.
Yeah. Like,
it's good, bro. It's good. If you need something to watch, check that out.
I might, man. I'm tough with shows.
Yeah,
Peaky Blinders.
I've heard that's really good. I haven't
Peaky Blinders.
Yet.
My
Dude,
that should be coming out too.
Dude, I'm gonna get.
The next
he'll be
months.
One of his portrait. I think I'm gonna do with my cap down the road. Thomas Shelby. Dude,
have you met him?
He's one of my favorite characters ever, man. He's a savage.
Have you met anyone you have a portrait of? Have you met Rihanna or?
No.
Okay. All right.
Denzel.
I'm gonna meet Rihanna. Nope. Haven't met Denzel, man. Those two would be.
Denzel's a huge
blessings.
Baseball fan too, so he would know you for sure. Yeah.
Oh wow.
When you meet him, will you show him? Would you say like, "Yo, look at this"? Yeah.
I would show him. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's like my dad's a cop. So growing up, like, this movie's always very reminiscent of my dad, too.
Yeah.
Just because we always used to watch it. And it's like, I feel like when I picture my dad as a cop, not that it's a good thing. But when I was younger, not in that way, more so like swag, black dude.
Yeah.
My dad had the same cut, the same fade. Not the things he was doing.
Not making people smoke PCP.
No.
I didn't know you like to get wet, though.
That is a great movie, though, man. It's a great. So have you been pitching Kawhi to stay at all, Marcus? Telling him like, hey,
I haven't had much interaction with Kawhi, man. To be honest with you, but I feel like the city and people have been doing that enough, man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, I feel like he's got free everything for life. People have already offered.
It's gonna
him.
Be so hard for him to leave here, but he's such a Cali. He's from Cali,
I know.
And he's just so.
And I feel like he's someone too who's put such an emphasis on like family
and
where he
well-being.
Wants to be, his well being. He doesn't like the difference between. 150 and 200 mil?
I don't think it makes a difference.
I don't think
to him.
It's going to matter to him.
Not for sacrificing where he wants to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
exactly.
saying? I feel like he's that type
how much
of
more are you
going to
make? I know New Balance is probably throwing crazy money too. Yeah. So, like, how much more can you know what I mean?
In that LA market, he could probably make it up. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But it's just interesting to see because this won't be a decision based on. It won't be a decision based on money. It'd be purely based on where he wants to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Right.
Kind of like with KD when he went to the Warriors.
Yeah.
Like, it was all about him wanting to play in the Bay Area more so than it was
money.
Him joining the Warriors. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wanted to play in the Bay.
And, I mean, that stuff makes sense. People always say, oh, how are you going to turn down that money? It's like, well, look, once you get to a certain number, plus it's one less year,
listen,
if it's versus where you want to play.
No, nah, not me.
You don't? You think so? So
I,
wait,
I need all the loot, man. I don't give a fuck if I go to the moon.
Yeah.
I need it all.
One more million for the moon?
I need
I'm
it
on
all,
the moon, kid.
I need it all, cuz. I don't give a fuck if I go to the castles
like
or whatever. I need it all, cuz.
So
give me the loot.
I'm
the
out
loot.
Here fucking working hard, bro. Yeah. I need it all.
Give me the loot.
So you're
give
telling me, if it was a matter of like 150 for four, or 200 for five. We're just using these numbers.
Yep.
Now, keep in mind, you can make up some of it in a fifth year, right, at the next destination. And it's, you're going to play in New York or you're going to play in South Dakota? You're going to South Dakota
for
that, 50
for
more
that,
million?
For that 50 million.
Wow, really?
We're going to make South Dakota crack. I'm bringing everybody
out.
Barnes
out there.
I'm bringing everybody out. I'm going to have enough money to turn this shit into New York City.
Oh, my gosh,
he's bringing out. He's bringing out 100 people with him.
I need it all, cuz.
You probably would out there, man.
I need all that
loot,
bro.
Gosh, that's
we
funny.
Out here working hard, cuz. You want to get paid, man.
But,
true,
I get it. It depends on
if
the guy,
was,
right?
If it was 2 or 3 million, not fucking 50, not 10. Two or three. It can't be more. It can't be 10 million. That's
but
a big difference.
But
bro.
You. But even if you knew, okay, it's only the guaranteed year, you probably will end up making that out up once you hit free agency again.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who
never
knows?
Know what's
I mean,
yeah,
you never know. It's true.
And it's right here in your face right now. I need it all. That's like Kimba. Kimba ain't leaving Charlotte.
No.
To $221 million, you go, like, what is it opposed to the...
If I mean, I think it can be as much as an $80 million difference if they offer the full max.
That's,
you can't
come on, man. I know he wants to come home and everybody wants him to cut, you know what I'm saying? But fuck that.
Those and the basketball schedule, too, you're straight. Like, they're not as long, like, you
it's
can
not
go
a longer
suck it
season.
Up for...
You get the summer off.
You get the summer off.
You get the
you
summer
You can go live
off.
Wherever you want in the summer.
Yeah, like,
baseball's a little different, like...
Yeah, you're
you
working all summer, yeah.
Baseball, not, more than that, you're like mid-January rolls around, like, you got to be where you're at.
It's damn near baseball season.
It's baseball season.
Right after Christmas, it's baseball season.
You get
2 months.
You get, like, two months. Go do what you know what I mean?
Yeah, and we're the entertainment in the summer. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
we don't get the holidays. We don't get the cold.
We can't go to we can't go to Mykonos or Amalfi Coast because it's cold, man.
Amalfi Coast is where I'm getting married, bro.
Amazing.
Yeah, man. Thank you, man.
That's on my bucket list, man.
It's a gorgeous place, man. It is a gorgeous place.
In the warmth.
But you know what?
That's why, like, I'm not planning no trip this winter.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do everything when it's time to do it. Like, I'm not cramming shit into you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Remember even Jeter said, like, when he was retiring, he was like, I know this is going to sound silly, but, like, I'm excited just to be able to go to a barbecue in the summer.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
Jeter's so intense, man. Like, he couldn't turn it off. Mm-hmm. So if it's baseball season, it's baseball season.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't any time for him to relax. Like, yeah. For it's us, we're like starters. Round, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
we can relax.
We can relax, get a couple days off, do whatever. Round. But like position players, you got to be ready to play every fucking day.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do that shit, man. I've been watching Guardy for the last 11 years, man. Yeah. And very impressive of what he does every to get day. Ready to play every day.
Give us some insight, if you don't mind, Marcus, on Vlad Guerrero, like Junior. Like what? I mean, we obviously saw what he did last night, redirecting that Zach Britton sinker.
I was telling, like, that's what I've been telling, like, a lot of guys. Like, Britton's one of the most electric relievers I've ever seen.
People don't hit his ball in the air.
That's what I was explaining. People do not hit his ball. I've been watching him pitch for the Orioles and here now for whatever. This is my sixth year in the league. I haven't seen many balls in the air.
Mm-hmm.
That ball was, I've never seen that. That was most impressive. If you go back and look at the swing, the pitch was below the zone. Pitch was down under the zone. It would have been a ball. It was a ball. Yeah. If he doesn't swing, it's a ball.
Mm.
So for him to get underneath that 95-mile, that's a power sinker. That's like a train-in sinker. That's like one of the most power sinkers. That says enough right there. That swing, like, he's a next-level talent.
You know what's crazy is that it's like him and even BGO too, like, I don't know if it's because they big leaguer son and they've been around it. They're already...
feel like they've been here before.
Comfortable.
Yeah,
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's already like Vlad gets in the box and he's going to do some damp. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like...
Dude, Vlad especially.
I don't know. It's weird.
Feels like he's a veteran.
Right? Yeah, I don't know how to explain that. like you said, it feels like he's already a veteran, but he's already in his shit.
Everyone around him thinks he's going to hit a homer every time, which I love. Like, everyone's like on edge, like he's about to go deep.
It's crazy.
Like, every time up. It's
the hardest. I was trying to explain it. Me and Jay was on the bench, and it's like, he's already a fucking big leaguer, bro.
Got his swag, steps into the big leagues.
Yeah, it's weird. Kevin is the same way. Yeah. He's already in him.
Probably from growing up, watching their pops go through their routine.
And just being in the clubhouse, being around, and knowing what it takes. Like,
exactly.
They've already arrived. Like, it's hard to explain.
There's no transition period for them.
They're already there.
Because they've been,
it'll be little things defensively and all that shit, but like, offensively, them dudes are they're here.
They get it.
It's crazy.
It is crazy, man.
Even Bichette. And we got Bichette coming, too.
Bo Bichette.
He's going through a little injury. He might have been here already too, but
yeah, serious talent.
Bo Rakes, man.
It's amazing, man. You are so right too. Like, it's just like they look hitterish up there already.
Yeah, it's weird,
like,
man. Like, you know, younger guys, you feel like, you know, it's, you know, a way
they
to
usually
get
like tiptoe around
things.
Like,
yeah,
even get into the box, like, you could tell, like, this is a young guy.
Yeah,
those guys step in, it's like,
nah, they in there.
How much time this guy only got? 40 ABs.
It's crazy. It's a trip, but it's fun to watch, man.
It's unbelievable. I need a finals prediction from each of you before we
I just told you mine.
Oh, well, I mean, okay, so yours is all contingent on the health, though.
It all contingent on...
KD comes back, Warriors win. If they don't, Raptors win.
Yeah.
I got Raps in seven, no matter what.
No matter what?
Yeah.
Ooh, will you be at game seven? Where are you guys?
I might be at game five.
I was about to say this week,
we have an off day.
Oh.
I might stay. I think we're actually traveling on the off day, so I might stay and then fly to Baltimore on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, that's an easy flight.
Yeah.
You should do that. Oh, man, that
atmosphere. I've never been to a finals game. I've only been to playoff games.
That's what you're talking about with pitching and just, you know, being a baseball player, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be Ron the bucket
list. You know what's crazy is that what's fucked up is that the Warriors probably won't be in the finals next year. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, if KD leaves and all that shit, like, I missed it. I missed my window.
You know what, though? Steph's going to get back. He's going to get back without him at some point.
Yeah,
maybe not next year,
maybe
but
not next
at some
year,
point.
In a few years, but we'll
he's
see.
Still that good.
He's so good.
He's still that good.
I was going to say, I wouldn't put it past that to get back next year. That guy is... He's out there doing by himself.
They
right
got
to
have Clay.
He was by himself, 40 in the third.
Yeah.
I'm watching him run around. I felt bad at one point. I'm watching him run around like the court through like and through double, triple screens, dribble, pass to try to get it back. Like, he's doing everything.
He's doing everything.
And
everybody's just trying to get the ball back to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, the last 3 minutes of game two There was nobody on the court that could score except for him.
Yeah.
They were all just waiting to pass the ball to him.
You see the supporting cast are playing big minutes, the guys who would have never played big minutes.
And it was like, when Clay went out, it was like 3 or 4 minutes where it was like, he's the only person that can score on the floor for the Warriors, and nobody else is even trying to score. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was crazy at the end. So we got to wait and see what happens, but...
For sure.
Clay being out, Looney being out was
huge. That's a big loss.
McKinney was getting huge minutes. McKinney too. And Cook. Cook was getting a lot of minutes, man.
Cook can play. He deserves those minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, he hits the shots too, but not having Looney was big too, man. It's crazy.
Well, Marcus, we're going to have a Prince Street pizza hang when you come to New York.
Yeah, please, man.
Yeah.
New York's got so many good spots, man. It's like,
it's amazing.
It's impossible to get to them all.
It is.
I got to get off Carbone's, man. That's the only place I go.
I was about to literally say, I haven't been to Carbone in a minute, bro.
That's the only place I go, bro.
It's true, though, because you find a place you love and you want to keep going back to it.
I go to one spot, dog.
It's true. You know, Marcus, since you're like R2C2 family, if you want, I mean, you can do our outro telling the people to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast.
Rate, review, and subscribe?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it, man.
R2C2?
Yeah.
All right. Rate, review, and subscribe to R2C2 Podcast ASAP. Get on that.
Hey, there we go. Very nice. That's it. We'll be back next Thursday, every Thursday, with R2C2.